Psalm 23, the shepherd and his sheep, is possibly one of the most famous sections of Scripture. Bible reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, we come before you this morning. Some of us challenged, some of us injured, troubled, looking for pasture, still waters, comfort of your hand, Lord. Lord, I pray that peace that surpasses understanding would just move through this place as Roki mentioned the power of the Holy Spirit in the prayer room this morning, that your Spirit come and minister to the hurting, minister to the harmed, and guide the lost. Lord, that we would find our fullness in you, and we will give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Well, we are in John chapter 10 today. I wanted to open with reading about the good shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, amen?
Amen.
And sometimes we resist his leadership. If he is your shepherd, that means that you are indeed following. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I saw a curious sight the other day, driving down Euclid. If you're familiar with Euclid, where is it? It runs that way. It's about a mile that way. It runs to our house. And it runs down quite a steep hill. And it was curious in that there was a frantic woman. Just picture that in your mind, driving a minivan. And she was on the wrong side of the road. And she was chasing a little dog about this high. You know them little dogs, they kind of look like fingers, they have feet, you know, they just kind of, right? And this lady is on the wrong side of the road, you know, kind of running along the curb, calling to her dog, who is running as fast as it can away from the van. Now, there are cars running up and down that street. I mean, there's no stop signs for a long time. And the safest place for that little dog is with that lady. And that little dog is doing everything it can to get away. Don't be like that little dog. Amen?
Amen.
We're talking about the Good Shepherd. We are in a series through John called The Challenge of Change. And when Jesus comes, he brings change, and that change can be a challenge. Can I get a witness on that? We come to John chapter 10, and it opens up with the shepherd. And we will read through that. It is a common display or an image in Israel at the time of our Lord. He used vineyard, he uses sheep, he uses shepherd, all common sights that you would see in Israel back in the day. To kind of give us a context of what is going on, in John chapter 9, our Lord heals a man born blind. Now, he heals him on the Sabbath, quite to the consternation of many of the religious leaders of the day. But they were also incredibly threatened by the miracle that our Lord had done, because there were not people who went around healing, people who were born blind. And so Jesus proved to be a threat. And so they came to the man whose sight had been revealed or been healed. And they said, "Who healed you?" He said, "I don't know, man. I was blind. And he was gone by the time I could see." And they came to his parents and said, "Was this guy really blind?" They said, "Yeah, he's been blind his whole life. He begged over here. He did all this stuff." And they said, "Well, who healed him?" He said, "We don't know. You ask him." They asked him a second time, and he said, "Why, do you want to be his disciple too? Because nobody's doing this but God." The Jews are struggling with that. Leaders of the Jews are struggling with that. And anyone who is following Jesus is being kicked out of the synagogue. There is indeed resistance mounting against our Lord. And in the response to this resistance, Jesus talks about the shepherd and the sheep. Read from the writings of the psalmist, Psalm 23, there are numerous texts that revolve around the shepherd and the sheep. Ezekiel is one. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep, the Lord speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. Sounds good, doesn't it? And I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and in the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. Best place for the shepherd? In front of his sheep. Best place for the sheep is with the shepherd. We can fight it. You might fight it. You might be like that little dog. Let me get away. I want to be free. Try with all your might to get away from the shepherd. Hope that's not you. Today we're going to take a look at the shepherd and the sheep. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take a look. As I said, we're going to be in John chapter 10, so you can turn there, keep your finger in it. The Lord speaking gives us a picture of the pen. He says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." Notice, the thieves and the robbers are out there. He says, "the one." It's not like if there's one. No, they're there. Can I get a witness on that? That's why you need the shepherd. That's why that little dog needs some protection, and that lady's frantically trying to keep her little dog from running out in the street and getting, what, squished like a bug. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And the Lord says that you can indeed recognize the shepherd. He starts off telling us what the shepherd is not. The shepherd is not a thief or a robber. Now, a thief will try to trick you out of your money. How many of you have been tricked out of your money? Oh, yes, many of us have been. And the robber, though, he will just take your money. A robber is like, anybody ever heard of strong arm robbery? That's when somebody just kind of like shake you and take your, give me your money. That is a robber. And the Lord says that there are both kinds. And they only got one interest in the sheep. They only got one interest in you. That's getting what you got for their benefit. They're trying to get gain from you. Now, the alternative to this threat is protection. The alternative to this threat is the shepherd. Walks around with a stick. Can I get a witness on that? Shepherd cares for the sheep. Shepherd protects the sheep. And the shepherd is recognized by his sheep. Shepherd is also recognized by the watchman. Notice that the shepherd walks in the front door. He walks in the gate. There is no need for the shepherd to sneak around. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not sneaking around. He was healing the blind. He was raising the dead. He was healing the sick. Come forward this morning, prayed with people for healing. Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is indeed still a healer. Amen? And he says when he comes into your life, he's not going to come in the side door. He's going to come in the front door. And he says, you will be able to recognize me by what I do. Because nobody is healing men born blind but people that are coming from heaven. Those are my bona fides. That is my proof. You can tell who I am by what I do. Amen? He says, I'm coming in the front door, and the Lord comes into your life. He comes in the front door, and he says, are you hurting bad enough yet? And oftentimes they say, no, not really. I'm just trying to get away because I think I can have a little bit more fun. You might not be part of the flock. Don't want in the pen. The shepherd's sheep follow the shepherd. I see many of you this morning. I know that you are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you have indeed been transformed in your existence, that you are dwelling in the pen, that you are finding protection and provision from our Lord, and there is healing in his touch. Amen?
Amen.
He says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know the voice of the Lord this morning? Roki talked about our prayer room. You can hear the voice of God in there. You become accustomed to that voice, and you can hear it as you come and you go and as you do other things. Become accustomed to his voice. They knew his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. The shepherd's sheep follow the shepherd. I want you to notice, there are multiple flocks in the pen. This is a pen. This is a sheep pen. And what happens is at night or during storm or during something like that, the shepherd will bring his sheep into a pen. Now, this is obviously with an aluminum gate. This is not a pen from the Lord's time. Here is a graphic thing of a rock-walled sheep pen, and you can see that there are room for a lot of sheep in there. And what would happen is you'd be out shepherding, and you'd be leading your sheep, and you'd take them out to the pasture, and you'd be working a 12-hour day, depending on how long it's light, maybe 16-hour day, and you would then bring them back to the sheep pen, and there would be a watchman who would know you, and you would be a regular of his, and he would have room for your flock and several others. And he would watch the sheep at night. You could sleep. You could go into town, get your stuff, whatever you wanted. And you would come back in the morning and you would call your sheep. Like similar to the way you would call a dog with a whistle or something like that. And sometimes you call them by name. It would be clucks or clicks or whatever. But the sheep would know their shepherd and they would come out. And I want you to notice that there would be some that did not come out. There would be sheep of different flocks that did not recognize the Lord's voice, and they stayed in the pen as the Lord's sheep followed him into good pasture. Are you getting the image of this? Because he says, my sheep know my voice. And if you looked at that little dog, you would never think, other than that lady's frantic activity, that that dog belonged to that lady. You would think that that lady was trying to steal that dog. Because that dog wanted no part of that lady. And there's people that are surrounding us that want no part of our Lord. They hear his voice and they run from him. He says, his sheep will scatter at a false call. Let's take a little time out here. Hey, George, do me a favor. Turn that fan off over there. There's a little squeaking going on over here. People are freaking out. Right there. Thank you, bro. Time in. There you go. All right. Sheep will scatter at a false call because it just doesn't feel right. And we are surrounded by lies. And there are those who would try to put the truth of God with a twist for their gain. Thieves and robbers would come and try to take advantage of you. And when you hear that, you run. There are false messages, and there is danger. And there are those who should be warning you. And in fact, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, comes to guide you into all truth. And you get into a situation, you're going, wait a minute, I don't know about this. Run. Get away. Because there's thieves and robbers out there that are trying to take you for what you got. Amen? They don't care about you. They just care about what they can put in their pocket. Now, tonight, on HBO, there is a special called Going Clear. It is an expose on the Church of Scientology. How many of you have ever heard of the Church of Scientology? Their most well-known members at this time are Tom Cruise and John Travolta. And it focuses around people that are quite well-to-do. It is very technical in what they do, and they have that's why they call it Scientology. It's all this stuff. And it's being exposed for all the abuses that are going on. And much of this expose, I have not seen it, I just heard about it this week, much of this expose is targeted at Tom Cruise, saying that Tom Cruise should be raising the alarm because he is obviously aware of all the bad stuff that is going on inside the Church of Scientology. It is a cult. There are lots of cults out there. They will twist the truth of God in a way that they do not have to follow the shepherd, that they can redefine the shepherd so that they end up in a different pen that's not safe at all. Run away. It's not safe. There are thieves and there are robbers there. God will sound the alarm. God will let you know when you're in the wrong spot. And if you follow him, he'll lead you into a safe spot. Amen. He'll lead you into the pen. Life's good in the pen. Amen? All right. Lord makes a second try. Why does he make a second try? Jesus used his figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Let me try again here. Let me try again here. He says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were, there's that thing, thieves and robbers. They're trying to scam you. They're trying to rip you off. He says, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And that's what God spoke through Ezekiel and said, hey, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be the shepherd, and they're going to find good pasture. Where? Right where you're at. right in Israel, in the ravines, in the mountains, in the valleys. I'm going to be right there. Lord is my shepherd. He's going to guide me into the good pasture by still waters. Amen. In the midst of my enemies. Hallelujah. There is protection and there is provision. Can I get a witness on that? And so we see Jesus tying into these very pictures saying that, come in and you can be saved. He'll come in, go out, find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not good. Steal, kill, and destroy. You have an enemy of your souls. He is the enemy of your children's souls, your friends' souls, your relatives' souls, everybody's in this room's soul. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. See, Jesus is the gate. Amen? You come in and you go out through the gate. You get in the pen through the gate, and I want to just let you know that life is good in the pen. Amen? Jesus says, I'm the gate. Now, what would happen as they went into the pen at night, or in the morning when they came out, they would follow, but he would check them and he would count them. My uncle raised cows. We would go count the cows. And guess what? When you couldn't find a cow, you went out and you found the cow. You didn't say, well, he'll just come on home on his own. No, no, no. He'll go find that cow. That cow's worth about $700-$800. Find that cow. And the shepherd would check each of his sheep. As he came in and he went through the entrance to the pen, he says, I'm the gate. You come in through me. And as they came in, he would check them. And perhaps they were scratched during the day. They were injured during the day. And he would take oil and he would anoint them with oil. So you anoint my head with oil. Amen. And that oil was like a healing balm. Bad things happen. Bad things happen outside the pen. All right, here we go. You'll be saved from the thief, and good things happen in the thief, in the pen. All right, here we go. He says, let's move on. All right, no more technical difficulties. Roki, turn those fans back on. It's too hot in here. I think that squeaking's coming from something else. We're going to do a little. You know, the devil just comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll try and steal the message of the Lord, try and steal your attention, steal your focus. And the Lord brings the cooling of ceiling fans. Hallelujah. And other stuff, too. All right, here we go, here we go, here we go. All right, chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Jesus pulling away, he says, hey, look, that's me. I'm talking about me. I'm the good shepherd. I am here. How do you know that I'm the good shepherd? Why? Because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It doesn't get any better than that. Can I get a witness on that? Brings a contrast. He says, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Bad things happen. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And I want to let you know that Jesus is invested, folks. Jesus is invested in your life. You're sitting here today, it's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Drawing you in, and he's drawing you in because why? Because Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for you. Amen? Celebrate that death and resurrection this coming week. Friday, come on in on Good Friday, and we look back to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and on Sunday we celebrate that resurrection. Amen? He says that the hired man cares nothing for the sheep. We got three players here. We got the shepherd. We got the good shepherd, actually. We got the hired hand, and we got the wolf. Now, you can picture the wolf, right? The wolf is there for one reason. The wolf only wants one thing from a sheep. Can I get a witness on that? You know what the wolf is? And the wolf is not looking for fur. The wolf is looking for lunch. Only one way he gets lunch out of the sheep, and that is to kill and eat the sheep. All right, are we clear on that? I mean, You said, hey, not everybody's getting this. Let me try it again. I want you to get it. The wolf wants to kill the sheep, and there's two opportunities for protection. There is the good shepherd who puts his life on the line to who? The wolf. He's going to get in the way. Amen. Or you got the hired hand. Jesus says, I'll lay my life down for you. And you can look in history and you can see that Jesus has indeed done that. Amen. Amen? Or you can have the hired hand. Now this guy, does he look like he's invested in the sheep? I don't know. I think a wolf comes by, this guy is going to learn how to run. I don't know if he's run that much. He looks like he's not a runner. He's there for one reason. He wants to get paid. Give me my little bit of pay. I'm going to go in, turn these sheep in tonight at the pen. I'm going to go to the club. I'll get me a couple of drinks. I'll come back in the morning. I'll do it all over again. Wolf comes, I'm going to run away. Because I'm only in it for today. Amen? Jesus said, that's not the good shepherd. Good shepherd laid down his life. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life. Who are you following today? Hope it's not a hired hand. Just somebody looking for a little dog. Hey, I got a little dog, but I'll do something with it. That lady was frantic. She was all out. She was putting herself in danger, driving on the wrong side of the road, trying to save her little dog who was trying to run away. Don't be that little dog. Hop right in the hands of mama. Hop right in the hands of the Lord. Life is good in the pen. There's people out there that are looking to eat you. And there's people out there looking to just rip you off for their gain. And there's people out there that are invested. I was so blessed by Pastor Carlos this week. A lot of stuff going on with Pastor Carlos, more than just having a busted car. But Pastor Carlos is he's doing a lot of communication on the co-op. He works with the youth on Wednesday nights. He's doing a little 10-minute teaching, trying to build a connection. He says he works every afternoon doing the meal program. We got no meal program in April because the school's on vacation. He says to me, either Thursday or Friday, Pastor, you know, I want to come in and open up over the vacation. He goes, you don't got to pay me or nothing, but I just want to keep connection with those kids. He's not in it for a paycheck. We're starting this co-op, and we got all kinds of Spanish-speaking ladies. And so Pastor Carlos is going to teach Sunday morning, next two Sunday mornings, a Spanish Sunday school class for any of these folks that bring their kids for some of this outreach. Wednesday nights, he's going to start teaching every other Wednesday night in Spanish to the adults that come. Pastor Carlos is invested. Amen. Life's good in the pen. Amen? Amen. All right. Jesus makes life out of death. I hope you've experienced that. I have. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Dead in my sins. Amen? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Lord Jesus is working on one flock. And he starts off with a little review, okay? He says, right off the bat, let me just kind of review what's going on. My sheep know me, my Father knows me, and I lay down my life. Those are the bona fides of a good shepherd. Amen? You're going to follow somebody, make sure they know who you are. Make sure you know who they are, and make sure that they are invested. Can I get a witness on that? There are people around here that are invested. I tell you what, nobody's getting rich around here. At least not on the church end. And not even one amen. I'm not getting rich here, folks. We lay our lives down to serve you. And we are blessed to do it. Jesus says, I got a bigger picture than you can even understand. Because the Jews are all trying to squeeze down the ministry that they have. Say, if you like Jesus, we're going to kick you out. We're going to kick you out. We're going to kick you out. Jesus says, man, I got this pen. I got other pens. My vision goes beyond what you can ever even fathom. And he's talking about the Gentiles coming in. The Gentiles coming in that had been written off by the Jews. And they are so far gone, we're not even going to worry about them. And I'm so glad because I was a Gentile that got in on the end. Amen? Amen? And most of you, I don't know how many of you were raised Jewish, but I don't think we got too many Jews in the house. And so we all came in on the expanded vision of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We've got this expanded vision with the Spanish speakers that are coming in. And you know what? It's bigger than we got going on, but it's not too big for the Lord. Amen? We got two other congregations that speak Spanish here. It's like, wait a minute, Lord, you want to recreate? I don't know what you want to do, but Lord, you want everybody to come into the pen because life is good in the pen. Amen? Jesus says, I'm going to bring you all together. We're going to go someplace entirely new. He told the Samaritan woman about it. He says, a time is coming and has now come, and true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's what Rogan was talking about in the prayer meeting this morning. The Holy Ghost is in the house. And to come into his presence and to be transformed and be able to let some of the stuff that shouldn't be in your life out. And let some new stuff in. Get in the pen. Life is good in the pen. He says, I'm going to bring the two together. We're going to go to a brand new spot. Get in the pen. You got to be led by the Lord. You got to come in and go out by him. Amen. You're going to find pasture. You're going to find provision. You're going to find protection. Life's good in the pen. Last thing we got. Jesus has the authority for change. I got a few verses I'm going to give you. I don't want you to get tied up with the end of our time. I normally don't do that, but I'm thinking these verses are just so rich. So just hang with me, okay? Word of God is good. Amen?
It is.
We're even a little bit short. So yeah, we'll read. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. That's my boy. That's my son. Fully invested in the sheep. Reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus made and makes the ultimate sacrifice. Lays down his life. This is a voluntary sacrifice on his part. But I give you this verse to let you know that it's not just a plaything that we're talking about here. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. To go to the cross, to be beaten, to be arrested, to be mocked, to be spit upon. To have nails driven through your hands and through your feet. Sword pierce your side. Thorns placed upon your head. Real pain, real sacrifice. He felt it all. It is Jesus' choice. He lays down his life. He makes that sacrifice, and then he hung on the cross and he died. He didn't pass out. He didn't faint. He died and was dead and was buried, and on the third day he was raised again. Amen. There had been many who had come back from the death, dead. Lazarus, he had raised from the dead. Without the sacrifice, the resurrection does not mean so much. Why? Because Paul writes to the church in Colossae, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You see, his sacrifice and his resurrection created a pathway for us that we can follow him into what? New life. Amen? That passing into the pen where there is protection and provision and everything that you need. Come in and go out and you can be saved. Amen? His death, his sacrifice paid for your sin, and the life that he has raised to is a life that we can follow him into as we are baptized back here. And we talk about being dying to our old self and being raised to new life. Life in the pen. It's good. Last verse I want to share with you is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And he talks about the opportunity that is available to those that know their shepherd, to those that are in the pen. It's all a good book. But I'm telling you, these verses today, Psalm 23, John 10, Ezekiel, you can highlight these in your Bible. But this one here, folks, Paul writing to this church, I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Paul talking about life in the pen. That you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power. Paul is praying that you would know the power of the pen, and he says, let me show you what it's like. It is like the power that God revealed as he raised Christ from the dead, and that you can participate in that power as you follow your shepherd. Amen? He says, that incomparably great power, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. Pictures of the pen. Life is good in the pen. He is the good shepherd. I hope you're following. I trust you are. Lisa, you want to come up? See, Jesus guides us all into the power of God. He opens the way to fullness of life. You find that fullness in the pen. Find supernatural power in the pen. Find protection in the pen. Find provision in the pen. I hope you're following. I know so many of you are. I hear it in the testimonies that happen. Celebrate recovery. People stop running away. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Follow him into the pen. Life is good in the pen. He says, you come in, you go out, you'll be saved, you'll find pastor. Oh, life is good. Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you that you guide each one of us. I thank you that you meet us, Lord, that we can know you and that you know us, Lord. And as we come and we go, Lord, that you look at us and you see the scrapes that we've got. That you are our healer. Lord, that you see when we are thirsty, you see when we are hungry. That you are our provider and our sustainer. Lord, that you love each one of us, that you give us a name, that you call us by name. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord is indeed calling your name. Saying, my son, my daughter, you've been running. I've been calling and you've been running. Are you ready to come home? Holding the gate open. I am the gate. You come in by my sacrifice. He says, I make another invitation to you this morning. Time to come home. Life's good in the pen. Don't fight it. Don't fight me. I'm speaking plainly to you. Time to come home. Nobody looking around. But perhaps the Lord is speaking to you with such clarity and such might and such power. And it's finally making sense. Oh, the shepherd and the sheep. I need to be a sheep. I've been getting ripped off. Not going to be ripped off anymore. With nobody looking around. And the Holy Spirit just speaking right to you right now, saying, child, this is truth. Time to come home. You're saying, yep, it's time. Nobody's looking around. You say, yeah, here I am, Lord. I've been so foolish. I have run away for so long, but I'm done running. I'm ready to bend a knee, and I'm ready to follow you. And I want that good life. I want that good life in the pen. That's you this morning. Lord, reach down from heaven. You can just reach up. You can say, Lord, here I am. Grab me today, Lord. Grab me today, Lord. I'm going to follow. Nobody looking around. That's you this morning. Just raise your hand up. That's me, Lord. Right here, Lord. I'm hearing right here. Right here. Anybody else say, that's me, Lord. Back in the back, I see you. Anybody else say, that's me? I've been dodging him for too long. I see your hand. You can put your hand down. Last shot. Don't be that little dog running away. Lord's saying, this is for you, child. Didn't put your hand up. Lord's speaking right to your heart. Back here. Anybody else? Right there. Hallelujah. Stand with me, will you? We're going to sing. Maybe you got some business to do with the Lord. I invite you to come up front and sing. Come up front and kneel. Come up front and pray. Come up and meet the Lord. Amen? Oh, dear.